Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Wrap-Up Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I'm here once again, as always, with the amazing Lita. Lita, how you doing?
I'm doing well. That's the best part of my week when you introduced me as the amazing Lita Brillman. I wish some more people would put that in front of my name. But
well, I've actually never said your last name, so.
Oh, whatever. I just added it. I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm good. I'm well rested. I'm well fed. Our last podcast, I was a little cranky. Might have been beating up on some 7-year-olds because I had come from work and was tired and not in the best podcasting zone. But I am all good to go today. I felt like this was a better episode. I am more energized. I'm ready. How are you?
I'm incredibly tired.
Okay. Well, it always has to be one of us.
Yeah. Still recovering from Vegas. I'm here. I'm always here. You'll always get the same amount of energy from me, whether or not I'm tired.
That's good.
If anything, being tired just makes me like loopier, which may or may not make me funnier. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it might. I feel like it does not go the same way for me. So it's good that you're the tired one this time. I feel like if we were both well-rested, then the energy would just be too overwhelming.
Far too overwhelming. All right, so we are here today to talk to you about episode 3 of season 9 of American Ninja Warrior, Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Daytona?
It was fine. There was a little bit of hyperbole, I think, going on in stating the importance of this location that I've never thought about in my entire life. Matt calls it one of the greatest locations in all of sports. And I gotta disagree with that. Maybe if you're really into race car driving like you are.
Super into it. I was so excited that I saw more race car drivers. We got some last episode. Now we'll get some this episode. All about the race cars. They're on the Daytona International Speedway. Greatest place on sports earth.
I feel like it's not even the greatest place on car racing sports earth.
Is okay,
right?
Is what's the better place?
The Indy racetrack for the Indy 500, right?
Well, apparently you don't even know the name of it. So
I think it might be called that. Oh, I'm gonna get so many tweets.
Yeah, because we have so many racing car fans.
I don't know. I feel like, is it not called that? The Indy racetrack?
No idea.
That sounds right.
You're asking
me
the wrong person.
Okay, well, I'm not gonna Google it. It's not worth it. I've decided that's what it's called.
I'm a super casual fan of racing cars.
But if you asked me to say, like, even just like, where is the Daytona race? I don't even know like what it's called. I wouldn't have said Daytona Beach. I would have just said Daytona.
I didn't even know Daytona was in Florida.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. So yeah. You, at least you know where the Indy 500 is.
No, I don't.
It's in Indiana.
Is that why it's called Indy?
Yes. It's in Indianapolis.
Oh, I just thought they were like not as corporate.
Oh my God, it's spelled I-N-D-Y, not I-N-D-I-E. It's not like an underground race.
Well, I thought it was like, you know, NASCAR is like the big name, and they got the Indy drivers. They're like,
oh my God, less. That's hilarious.
I never saw it written out. Like,
wait, you're being serious right now?
Yeah,
I'm
being serious.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
This is, you know, I'm such a big fan that, you know, I had these misconceptions.
Well, you're in like the Indy League because you, like, I know that you race, but you only race recreationally.
Yeah, I always aspired to be in the Indy racing, but it turns out I shouldn't. I'm inspired to be in the independent racing league.
Okay, which is just you.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I always win.
Got it.
Yeah, so Akbar is turned up, and he's got a race wheel to prove it.
This is very awkward. He's just holding it, and then he just, like, puts it down.
You know, he's got some props,
I guess. And they both have helmets in front of them.
Yeah, I feel mean saying this is awkward, because I feel like Akbar was, like, so excited. He got this racing wheel. He was like, this is going to be so much fun. I'm gonna say I'm turned up. Get it?
Oh,
he had to carry that racing wheel up the shoddy ladder that they have to climb up to get up to that podium.
Yeah, we have all the intel about how Matt and Akbar get up there. It's literally just a ladder.
Yeah,
not like a nice ladder. It's just like at a Home Depot ladder.
Just a ladder that's leaning against the back of it.
Yeah, it looks very dangerous.
Yes. So so we're in Daytona Beach. We've got a couple new obstacles here. First up, as always, the floating steps. Then we have the rolling pin, where you have to grab on. There's a big bar, and then there's two cylindrical foam things that you have to grab onto with your body, like put your shoulder over it. And then it's essentially like
the rolling log. Yeah.
No, not the rolling log. The other one, the one that goes down.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I don't know what that's called. Oh, yeah. It's like something drop.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, there's some drops that you need to like brace yourself for, and then you get to the other side. Then
are you allowed to use your legs on this obstacle? They weren't clear.
I believe not. I believe you're not allowed to touch anything other than those cylindrical foam objects, because otherwise you could just hold onto the pole,
right,
which is,
but you're not allowed
much easier
to touch those with your legs.
Probably not. I mean, certainly we didn't see it happen.
Yeah.
I guess you'd probably have to do that. Like, I guess they separated. So theoretically you could like hold on to one with two hands and then the other one with your legs.
Well, yeah,
but
I thought
that
people could do it like the rolling log, but smaller.
Yeah. I think that would be too easy. It's probably not allowed, or we would have seen somebody do it. Anyway, next up we get the wing nuts. Interesting obstacle here. You have to grab onto two little handholds on an object that looks like a wing nut, if you haven't heard, and swing horizontally left and right, and make a jump over to the next one, and then grab on, do the same thing. There's three of them, and that's all it takes to get through their wing nuts.
So what is a wing nut? Is that a thing?
It's like a, yeah, it's like, you know, nuts and bolts, you know, a wing nut is one that has little handles on the sides that look like wings that you can like grab and twist.
Okay. See, I didn't know that this was a thing. And I thought it was just like, I don't know what I thought. It was just like, oh, like it looks like wings and you're like nuts about it. So you're a wing nut if you're hanging off of it all the time.
I'm nuts about wings.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't understand this when like the guy was explaining how he came up with the name. His dad
said it looked like a wing nut.
I know, but I didn't know what that meant because I've never heard of a wing nut. I'm not big into home improvement.
Okay.
So I have a toolbox.
Yeah. This obstacle, I kind of like it. I like the idea that it kind of tests a different aspect of your athleticism. There's different technique involved than some of the other stuff, which I always like when they test new techniques, new ways of performing obstacles, having to go side to side and then making a jump from instead of going forwards, you're going left to right, which I imagine is a much different set of skills that you need to make sure that you know, land that jump. So interesting obstacle here. I thought it was very funny that the person that designed it ends up trying it. Then we get the broken bridge, which we have seen in stage one of Vegas. It's a series of big, I imagine foam. I think they're all foam, but I don't really know what they are.
I don't know, because the flywheels were knives and cement.
What?
Well, I thought that the outside of the flywheels was foam because it looks like this material, but then a bunch of people got like killed in the head on the flywheels because it wasn't foam.
Oh, that's true.
But it's all that red stuff, so I don't understand.
Maybe it was just like really hard foam.
That sounds not accurate.
All right. Anyway, you've got these boards that are hanging vertically. There's like seven of them or so. Yeah, and you just have to run over them, essentially. It's the broken bridge. And then we have the ninja killer, the dreaded Rolling Thunder. It did seem a bit easier than the one in Philly last year, but it's this huge cylindrical monstrosity that you have to roll down a series of pipes that have drops. There's two drops. I mean, this is a very complicated obstacle. There's plexiglass in the way of the handholds that you're using to roll this thing. It usually takes people like 45 seconds to a minute to get through. Very like long obstacle. Not many people are able to get through it. But there it is, Rolling Thunder. Then finally, the warped wall. You get up that, you hit the buzzer, you've completed the Daytona Beach qualifying course.
Mazel.
What'd you think?
It's fine. I actually don't mind the Rolling Thunder. I know a lot of people don't really like it, but I think it makes for gripping TV when there's an obstacle that someone, you can like see the determination and you see them pushing through it, rather than like you're not really going to go out on like a technical mistake on the Rolling Thunder. You know, like it's just a matter of like grip strength and just like brute force getting that thing through. Obviously there's strategy and there are approaches that you can take that might be a mistake, but you're not just going to like swing and miss on any part of it. You're just going to like have to push through it.
Yeah, I think my main gripe with the Rolling Thunder is that just it takes so long to get through.
Yeah.
And I get bored like halfway through. I'm like, all right, you're supposed to be finished by now. Like next obstacle.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, it's fine. I mean, I like the difficulty level. This did seem like a very difficult qualifying course between the Wingnuts and the Rolling Thunder.
Yeah,
some
this
difficult
was
stuff
like
here.
How Philly was last year, which is also where the Rolling Thunder was.
Exactly. So first up, we had Haley Jo Fuller, the 21-year-old music student, and apple of my eye. I fell in love with this girl.
Wow, we have very different tastes in women.
Wow, how can you not like Haley Jo Fuller? She's a music geek. She called herself the band geek ninja. She does martial arts and stuff.
A little annoying.
She sings.
Okay.
She sings.
Okay.
She plays a bunch of instruments.
Listen, I'm going to fall in love with a girl later in this episode. It's not Haley.
Is it the makeup one?
It might be.
Typical.
I don't know. You didn't find her a little bit too much?
What's too much about her?
You know, it's fine. I'm not going to... I won't.
Well, she's too perfect for you?
That's exactly what it is. I'm just jealous of Haley and all of her instruments. I think, like, I don't know. And this was a motif, and this happened with the makeup artist that we'll talk about, too, where she said the exact same thing about how, like, oh, like, no one thinks that I can do this because of the way I looked. And she talks about how she was, like, picked on because she was small and stuff. I would just, you know, I don't know. I don't really... She, like, looks jacked. I just didn't really, like, buy it.
Well, maybe she got jacked. She probably wasn't always jacked. She says she, like, weighed, like, 70
pounds. I'm not saying that she was when she was a child. I'm saying she says now, like, people underestimate me because I don't look like I can do this or whatever. But, like, she has visible abs. Like, I don't really know, like, who's actually saying that to her.
If we started disqualifying every woman that said that, we'd be disqualifying every single one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just, like, overplayed. I don't know. It's just, like, her body doesn't look really that different to me than Jessie Graff. Like, she has obviously less defined, like, shoulders and arms and stuff. But, like, I didn't look at her and was like, no way. And, like, I don't really believe that she's getting that often. I think it's a made-up chip on your shoulder that a lot of athletes do.
Well, sure. I agree with that, but I'm not going to single Haley Jo Fuller out.
Okay, that's fine.
Because she's excellent.
All right.
Anyway, they call her the Band Geek Ninja. Unfortunately, she is the first runner of the night. So despite the fact that I quickly fell in love, I was like, I'm never going to see her again. She loses her grip on the rolling pin. And Akbar says it's a no-go for Haley Jo.
Yeah. She's now the second most famous Haley Jo in television working today after Haley Jo Osmond. Yes.
All right. I knew that.
Did you find her on Twitter?
No, I'm not that weird.
It's not that weird.
I can admire from afar. I don't have to like take
none
it
of
any
the
further.
People that I look for ever have Twitters anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Next up is Casey Suhaki, the 25-year-old, the guy with the grandpa.
He's got a grandpa.
That's how I used to always describe him. What do you mean he's not a grandpa?
I said he's got a grandpa. That's the only thing about him. But now he has a new thing.
Exactly. He does have a new thing. And man, who knew? Just one day ago, 2 days ago, we were talking about your penchant for proposals. And why would they ever skip over a proposal in an American Ninja Warrior episode? That's because they have like 15 of them, I guess, ready to go.
This is a new thing now. I feel bad for the guy who proposed on the last episode because it wouldn't have been montaged if they didn't know that a bigger name was going to do the same thing the next week. You know, like they can't obviously show them both. So they're going to show the guy who made it to the finals last year.
Maybe if you want to get some screen time, have a more original thought. That's what I have to say.
I guess. He describes his girlfriend. He says, my girlfriend is what they call a bucket filler. She fills all my buckets. Yeah. Is this what they call it? What does this mean?
That sounds like a derogatory term. Like,
I have no idea what he's talking about.
A bucket fill. Like, yeah, I have no. I mean, we got what, like a sugar cop last
sugar
time,
cop.
And now a bucket filler.
I've heard like she checks all my boxes, but fills
all my buckets.
I don't know about that.
I mean, look, Casey Suhaki has got a lot of empty buckets and she's filled all of them.
I'm really happy for him.
His bucket heart is now full.
I have no response to that. His bucket heart.
So he had his the engagement ring on him. It was tied around his neck with a black string.
God, you're not going to care about this, but did you see that ring? Oh my God, that's the ugliest ring I've ever seen. It looks like a Super Bowl ring.
Wow.
It looks like a class ring. It looks like the rings that they get from Neil Lane on like The Bachelor, which is not a good thing. Like, this is a horrible ring.
So much judgment.
I like
so much for somebody who loves proposals.
Yeah, well, now he's not coming on the podcast ever if he hears about this. Like, that's a very specifically insulting thing to say, but this was not a cute ring.
Fine.
Just saying. He's also from the South, though. Maybe they have different tastes.
Look. Casey Suhaki and his wife, they are the judge of what their rings look
if
like.
If she likes
it, if they
it,
like
yeah.
it, that's what
You're
matters.
You're right. That's completely true. I'm just saying I would say no if I saw that ring.
So shallow.
It's important. I only have to wear it for the rest of my life.
You can get like a different ring for the actual one you wear, right?
What? You
can get like a wedding band.
A wedding band, yeah, but that's not a different ring. I mean, it's a different ring, but you wear both.
You don't have to wear both, though.
But
you don't have to wear any of them.
Well, yeah, but obviously I would.
Well, not if it was ugly.
Well, yeah, but I would say no if it was ugly.
Okay, so you'd throw away the partner that you would have liked
no,
to marry.
No, I would say...
Because you'd rather throw them away than
no,
the ring.
No, I would say... I will say yes if you go, if I go with you to the jewelry store and get a better ring.
I would take back my proposal if the person answered like that. I'd be like, you know what? Fine.
Well, it would show a disregard or a lack of knowledge of my tastes and my interests. I have an entire Pinterest board about this. If they don't go and look at that first, then they're not worthy of marrying me anyway.
All right. Just expect everyone to meet your own demands there. Anyway, Casey Suhaki, he's got the ring with him, so hopefully he keeps it safe here. He gets a bit stuck on the floating steps, and I really enjoyed Akbar was like, wow, if you love her, get it together.
If you love it, if you love her, stick the landing.
Yeah. That
yeah.
was like, man, really putting the pressure on Casey.
Yeah.
He misses the first transition on the wing nuts and goes down, but still goes for the proposal soaking
yeah.
wet.
Yeah. Well, I teared up still, despite the ugly ring.
Were you starting to tear up and then you saw the ring and you're like, ah.
Well, no, I saw the ring before he did the proposal. He showed it like before he ran the course.
Okay.
When his grandpa was talking about like, that's going to be exciting. That's my impression of his grandpa.
Well, early exit for Casey. Unfortunate, but that's how it goes. Next, we get a montage starting with Brooks Tiller, a physical therapist who is also a hunter. And he looked good early, but was shot down by the wingnuts.
Oh, dear.
Then this is like your favorite series of or pair of runners. We got the hunter and the dairy farmer back to back. Next up was Caleb Watson, the dairy farmer who shocked everyone. Last year when he got the fastest time in the qualifier, and he shocked everyone this year by going down at the wingnuts. And I mean, I don't want to be mean, but it didn't shock me.
I will never recover from this series of devastating losses from the competition.
There you go. Finally, we had Timothy Stethnik, the accordion ninja, who was sent home by the rolling pin. And we also get the comment. He's also a chiropractor. I don't know why he's a chiropractor and an accordion ninja, but I guess you can have multiple things. The chiropractor couldn't make the adjustment on the rolling
yeah,
pin.
Yeah, well, I would sooner root for an accordion player than a chiropractor.
Well, I guess he tried for good branding, but ultimately fails because it doesn't fit with any puns.
Yeah, that's true. R.I.P.
Yeah. Next up, Otis Hooper, the 40-year-old National Guard pilot who started gaining a lot of weight after he got home from the National Guard. And, you know, got a little chubby. His kids started asking him, like, hey, Dad, what's up with this? And he was like, you know what? I know what's up with this. I gotta do better. I gotta set an example for my kids. Lost a bunch of weight, gained 25 pounds of muscle, competed for the title of Mr. Olympia, shredded his dad bod, and now he's gonna shred the Ninja Warrior course.
Is he?
Well, he's gonna try.
Okay. This was actually kind of, he says, like, it's hard to believe, and, like, yeah, it is. Those before and after pictures are ridiculous.
Impressive. Yeah. So he takes on the course. We got a couple funny little lines here. Akbar on the floating steps says, watch out for the rope-a-dope.
That's just like Akbar has nothing to say.
I mean, it's better than when Matt's like, oh, he's getting hung up there on the floating steps. Like, everybody gets hung up on the floating steps. Everybody except for, like, Drew Dreschel and the really amazing people have to take an extra swing.
Why isn't that his Team Ninja Warrior name, Drew Dreschel and the really amazing people? I feel like that would be more concise than some of the other names.
I feel like he's got a good enough Team Ninja Warrior name.
Yeah, the real life ninjas.
I mean, that's
pretty good. Especially by Team Ninja Warrior standards, because I hate like 80% of those team names.
Yeah, there you go. More Team Ninja Warrior commentary coming soon. Matt also says, whoop, there it is.
No, he says, hoop, there it is, because his name is Otis Hooper.
That makes more sense. I just thought he was going for a rhyme, but I guess he was saying, hoop, there it is.
What All was right. the rhyme?
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Oh, they no, rhyme. He said, hoop, there it is.
All right. Well, there's
but then
the hoop.
Also he says that there's a crash landing on the obstacle course because he was in the Air Force.
Yeah, it happens.
I mean, I'm just saying he was really rolling with the puns for Otis Hooper.
Really rolling, like on the rolling pin?
Oh, the rolling thunder. Wow, lots of rolling.
Lots of rolling. So there it is. There's Otis Hooper. You know, decent job. I like the story. I like the transformation story. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was fine.
Anyway, next up was Bree Widener, the 23-year-old makeup artist. And I mean, I don't want to say inferior to Haley Joe, but definitely not as crush worthy. I don't know what Lita's
thinking.
Oh my
gosh, she's gorgeous. She's so adorable.
She's definitely adorable. I'll give you that.
Listen, we know how I feel about scary women. And this, yeah, I loved her. So it's something about her, very magnetic.
Yes, she's worked in haunted houses over the last decade, which, I mean, was she really implying that she's been working in haunted houses since she was 13?
Yeah, maybe she was raised by clowns in the haunted house circuit.
I guess so. You haven't been to a haunted house circus?
Every circus is a haunted house circus.
Yeah. She loves scaring people. She's made people pass out. She's made people pee their pants. I guess to each their own.
Yeah, I mean, this was another thing, like with Haley Joe, where I was like, oh, she works in haunted houses. I'll never see her again. Because I would never, ever in a million years go to a haunted house.
Yeah. She also likes sticking her tongue out. I noticed that.
Okay. I did not notice that.
She did it a lot. She's sticking her tongue out a lot. You know, it's fun. I didn't even write all of them down. There's too many of them. They're just constantly doing like, oh, this is a spooky run. Oh, what a horror this is.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah. Well, she's really good, and I'm glad that they pointed out, because in her package she was doing it, but she does a lot of like aerial stuff. So she does like Silks and Lyra and stuff like that. And that, I've said it before, because there are a couple of people on College Madness who did Silks, but like that is such good preparation for this, because that's a full body workout, and it's especially grip strength and like back and shoulders.
Truly a veteran of the horror circus.
Yes.
Yeah. She basically landed off the course after the rolling pin, but she saved it. She like put her leg on whatever that like silver machine thing is. It looks like a leaf blower or something. I don't know what it is.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's not part of the course, but she put her leg on it to save herself. I guess that didn't count as out of bounds. She managed to stay in the running here. She's the first person to make it through the wing nuts, so very good so far. And even she looks completely shocked that she's made it this far. She's like, whoa.
Yeah, well, because she looks in the mirror and underestimates herself, because apparently that's what happens. She's another person who says she doesn't look like she should be able to do this.
And look, not everybody can look like Jody,
Yeah, well,
San Antonio.
We didn't get a Casey interview here, but we do get a completely unnecessary Casey shout out during this run where Akbar is like, Casey proved you can't judge a book by its cover. Like, yeah, okay, she was the first person to prove that.
On American Ninja Warrior.
I guess. I feel like there must have been, in like the six seasons before she ran, there must have been unconventional looking people who did well.
I mean, Lucy did pretty well. People forget about Lucy. I even forget her last name.
I don't even know who that is.
Pretty sure she was the first woman to actually make it up the warp wall. Or maybe it was the jumping spider. See,
Sasuke?
I think she did it
No,
in
No, because they Warrior. Always say I'm Casey sure. is the first woman up the warp wall.
Yeah, I think they lie.
Really? Yeah. I don't think...
It might have been Sasuke. It might have been Sasuke.
I don't think they lie.
I think it was the jumping spider.
Okay.
I think they lied about the fact. I think they pretended that she hadn't made it through the jumping spiders. Anyway.
Those jerks.
The Rolling Thunder weighs almost as much as she does. And she does ultimately go down here, but not without a very solid effort.
Yeah, this was impressive.
As much as we're going to say, like, oh, it doesn't look like she's going to do well. I mean, like, looking at her very thin arms as she's, like, doing the Rolling Thunder, especially in comparison to, like, some of the much more bulkier, athletes, she definitely does not look as intimidating. Like, there is something to this idea that, like, she's got a bit more power to her punch than maybe it looks like.
Oh, for sure. I'm just saying it's not something that, like, every single woman or a small person or too tall person or whatever, like, needs to necessarily point out anymore, because we've seen so much diversity that, like, it's just not really necessary. Did she qualify? I didn't notice at the end.
She does qualify. She goes down on the Rolling Thunder. She is the number three qualifier for the women. So impressive run here. Best run so far. We get our first Sha-na-na from Akbar as she goes down. She says she's scrappy, and I think that's the perfect adjective to describe.
Multiple, not that the word scrappy is necessarily a Scooby-Doo reference, but it is to me, and we get multiple Scooby-Doo references this episode.
Oh my, look forward to that. Next up, we get another montage. First is young Kim, who's got a six-pack, which I guess is rare on American Ninja Warrior. I don't know why they have to point that out.
It was like a
extra six-packy. All right. Well, despite his muscles, the former bodybuilder still got bounced on the broken bridge. Then we had Christy Cook, who almost made a one-handed save on the Wingnuts, but does go down there. And then Hunter Sipes, who was a missionary who was ended early by the broken bridge. Then we got Royal Eason, the 29-year-old line cook, who was a walk-on.
Yeah. Good for him.
I believe we come in late to his run. Yes, he had to. He has to grab the plexiglass on the Wingnuts in order to survive there, but does manage to survive it. He gets through the Wingnuts, but not without Akbar saying, "Get this! His middle name is Timothy, so his name is Royal T. Eason. Royal T. Eason. Yeah. Super excited about it.
I wonder if that was on purpose.
Then they call him the Royalty Ninja.
Yeah, I mean that's fine. But there's also that guy with the crown. So
the King of Obstacles. Yeah.
So I feel like those are competing titles.
You can be the royalty. You can be the giant and big dog ninja.
I guess.
You know, they mean the same thing.
Do they? A big dog is not the same thing as a giant. That would have made Clifford really different if it was.
Clifford's like a giant dog.
Yeah, but he's not a giant. That would have made him a large person, which would have been creepy.
Well, obviously, none of them are actually dogs. We're not talking about Air Ninja.
Well, is that the movie where Air Bud does American Ninja Warrior? But it wouldn't be called, like, Air Ninja. Man. It would just be called Air Bud colon and then something about American Ninja Warrior. It's like you haven't even seen this franchise.
No, because it would be a different dog. Okay. All right. Suited to ninjas. And they'd be like, man, nowhere in the rule book does it say a dog can't compete on American Ninja Warrior.
I love it. I love this concept.
So there you go. Yeah. It gets very close on the dismount to the Rolling Thunder, but falls back into the water, unfortunately. So that's it for Royalty Eason. Does manage to qualify, number 29. So just good enough. So we will be seeing more of Royalty.
Soon.
Yeah. Next up was Jason Bergstrom, the 41-year-old handyman. I was very shocked when I saw his age.
Yeah. Yes. Me as well.
He looks like he's 31.
Yeah. And he, I bet he knows what a wingnut is. He's a handyman.
I'm sure he does. He got married when he was 18. His wife had, I believe, two kids when he got married to her. Or was that the other guy?
No, his wife already had children.
Okay, his wife already had children. He had some more children with her, and then they adopted even more kids for a total of nine children.
This was appropriate for this episode that aired on the 20th anniversary of Harry Potter. Well, the Weasleys only have seven children, but like there's nine in total. I don't know.
That's
the most
like
famous family of like a lot of kids. What's more famous than that?
What's the one?
If you don't know, it's not more famous. What, Madeline?
I'm bad with names. No, the grid of nine people. They're each like looking
Brady
around.
Bunch? There's only
the
six
Bunch.
Children on that.
Oh, six versus seven. I'm so okay. Sorry.
But okay, whatever.
Harry
like Potter
package.
Is more famous than the Brady Bunch internationally. Yes, it
no,
is.
No, it's not. The Weasley family is not more famous than the...
You can't even remember the name of the Brady Bunch, and you knew the name
Brady
of the
Bunch.
Weasley family.
No, you brought it up.
I just said the Brady Bunch, and you forgot all it right. already. Ugh, you're impossible.
All right, tell us, tweet at us, leave it in the comments. What's more famous, the Weasley family or the Brady Bunch? All right? very touching package from Jason Bergstrom. I love this concept. Great family taking in as many children as they can, giving loving homes. They took in a son who was from an abusive family. I really like this. They call him the Ninja Dad. I thought it was interesting. The youngest son gets to be on the sidelines with the wife. All the other kids had to sit in the bleachers.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know how,
yeah,
that was
how they
picked.
Chose that. I don't know. Yeah, these parents, like, I am almost suspicious of people who are this good. It's like, how do you have much compassion and energy and just like drive to be a good person in the world?
Typical Lita pessimism.
No, I'm saying it's like incredible. Like it's like unbelievable that people can like take on this kind of responsibility.
And he's very handsome.
I don't have that written down and I can't remember what his face looks like, but I believe you.
He was very handsome.
This was a handsome episode overall.
Okay. He does pretty well here. He gets to the all the way to the wingnuts. This is when we finally learn that this is a fan designed obstacle, and the guy that is gonna that designed the obstacle is going to be running it, running the course later on in the night. Wow, that's exciting. He must be so excited. He must have known beforehand. he must have chosen this one on purpose. Very interesting. He accidentally kicks the third wingnut, starts it moving, but still manages to get it through. And then very close to making it through the broken bridge, but unfortunately goes down at the very end.
Yeah,
there.
This is someone that I really hope comes back, and I will like keep in mind as someone that I'm rooting for, because this is just when people are like this good, like Andrew Yori, who is the guy that I was really in love with because he adopts dogs. The people who just do like really good things with like their whole lives, like a lot of these packages are amazing and these people who have been through trials, but I think it's different when you like not only have been through something, but like you dedicate your whole life to a specific cause and are just like doing good in the world. Like those are the people that I want to succeed the most.
Also, I thought this was an interesting note. His wife challenged him to build an obstacle course
in
the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to the typical, like, he's got an obstacle course. Uh-huh. Yeah. This is what good people do. They support each other.
Yes. Yeah. No, this is good. I just think it's funny when the wives are just, like, so over it.
All right. Then we get a programming note about NASCAR. It's all about NASCAR now. The CEO of NASCAR is there in the audience. I wonder why she's there. Oh, it's because her son, Ben Kennedy, 25-year-old NASCAR driver, is going to be competing.
The CEO of NASCAR is a woman? That's awesome. I mean,
there
I like don't support NASCAR as an organization, but like, I guess that's cool. I didn't even notice that. Like, you just said that, and I was so surprised when you said she, because of all my internalized sexism.
Man, so sexist. Anyway, Yeah, Ben Kennedy, he says Daytona is the birthplace of speed, so he's going to take Matt and Akbar on a ride around the track.
Yeah. Would you ever do this?
I mean, if I was the host of a very successful obstacle course show.
I mean, like, is this a thing that you would want to do? Like, if you were just, like, in Daytona anyway, and, like, a driver was like, hey, do you want me to take you around? Like, they did this on The Amazing Race. Like, was this something that you would actually want to do?
I mean, I hate feeling like I'm conforming to a stereotype, but yeah.
I'm asking because I, like, actually can't decide. Because I hate driving, but I love, like, roller coasters and, like, rides and stuff. It's, I wonder which it would feel more like.
Yeah, now that you say that, I would not enjoy being a passenger. I would want to drive, and I am not capable of driving, so no.
What do you mean you're not capable of driving?
I'm not capable of driving at, like, over 100 miles an hour.
I'm not even capable of driving more than, like, 60 miles an hour. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to drive ever, but, like, I feel like I might like being a passenger.
I would 100% throw up.
Yeah, you would?
Yeah.
Why is American Ninja Warrior trying so hard to forge a relationship with car racing?
They're very, you know, sport adjacent activities.
Yeah, but why this sport?
Because they're both sport adjacent and they want to be considered to be more sporty.
Well, there's lots of sport adjacent.
Well, it's not like they can be things. Like, oh, you know, here's our famous pool players. And
yeah, I would love that.
Poker players like, you know.
Okay, well, they could do, like, ping pong.
I feel like race car drivers, they've got, like, you know, they've got a bone to pick with people who are like, you're not real athletes. They're like, I don't know, we gotta prove that we're real athletes. We can do American Ninja Warrior and make it through two obstacles.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they should. I feel like there are other sports that have that stigma that would be more interesting and would have more people that were actually talented. Like, more ballet dancers.
Well, do those sports have big stadium tracks that they can host American Ninja Warrior on?
They could be like near Lincoln Center.
It's not
no,
the same.
They couldn't. There would be no space for that in New York, but whatever. Fine.
All right. Ben Kennedy, he goes.
Oh, golf. They could do it near golf courses.
I don't know if golf is what American Ninja Warrior wants to associate itself with.
Not that
like,
I like
speed,
that
high energy. That's all about American Ninja Warrior, golf, all those other things, not so much.
Okay, fine.
Ben Kennedy, he goes out on the rolling pin. Akbar says, oh, right in the back, he crashed. Because he landed on his back, and then he crashed.
Okay, yeah. So, shocking news that a race car driver was not good at American Ninja Warrior.
Next up was Tyler Gillette, the 21-year-old delivery driver. This was my favorite rookie of the night here. I like Tyler.
He's not just a delivery driver. He is a Jimmy John's delivery driver,
whoa,
which means that he does the Lord's work. Because Jimmy John's in many college towns is like the only place that's open 24/7 that isn't pizza.
All right.
And delivers. Jimmy John's is really important in many people's lives.
I'm glad. Basically on the same level as Jason Bergstrom adopting all of those children.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. He's feeding America.
He's been waiting 7 years to be on American Ninja Warrior. He built replica obstacles when he was 14. They even have video of it. He broke his collarbone while training as a kid. He says, this is the most important day of my life. I'm finally here. I love the super fans. I love when they've been training for a long time. This is finally their chance to compete. I feel like they always do very well because they've been waiting for this opportunity. They know what they have in store for them. So big fan of Tyler here.
Yeah, I am also super into this. I feel like this episode, and like this is an example of that, had a really good like diversity of kinds of backgrounds and packages and stuff. Like it wasn't overwhelmingly like sentimental or anything like that. There were a lot of like more light packages and then like stuff like this, which we love to see, but don't necessarily see that often, where like the whole story is that I love this show.
Yeah.
Like there's not really much more behind it, but that's enough. Just his passion. So I was very into Tyler.
I will say that I would have enjoyed more diversity in terms of more veteran athlete packages.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. But Tyler, he does very well here. Very good technique. Gets all the way to the Rolling Thunder. He's going super fast on it. That's how you have to do Rolling Thunder. If you don't go quickly, you will run out of gas before you get to the end. And Akbar's like, I'm afraid of the next generation of ninjas. I'm afraid of the next generation of ninjas.
Yeah, because they're all being raised by George Rushel.
Yeah. Yeah, he makes it up. He makes it through the Rolling Thunder. He makes it up the warp wall, completes the course. Really nice moment. He's super emotional about it. Can't even talk in his interview. He's so overwhelmed.
I know. It's adorable. Also, we didn't mention this, but in his package, it showed him like getting the call, which we've never seen before, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I think we've seen it before, but this is probably the most effective use of it. Usually it seems a little bit like, really? But you can imagine that, like,
yeah,
he would have been like, oh my God, it might be them. Turn on the camera.
Yeah.
So yeah, really,
yeah,
great.
Really authentic.
He says this is the best day of my life. Loving it.
Adorable.
Yes. Then we get some more montaged people, and I didn't even manage to catch these people's names because they were not written down, and we go through them very quickly. I don't know if you caught some of these.
I have
all
them.
Right, go ahead.
If you want them. We have Godfrey Ali, who wore a dashiki and then promptly ripped it off. Then we have Henry. I have Ferrari. That's probably not right.
I literally wrote Henry someone.
Yeah. And he has a pink beard for breast cancer awareness. He also fell. And then we have a woman whose name I only wrote down because it's really funny to me that her name is Casey Passifaro, which is like, I don't know that you can even like be on this show and have that name.
Why?
Because it rhymes with Casey Catanzaro.
Oh.
Because that's what I thought they said at first. And I just like rewound for a second. It's Casey Passifaro. That's way too close.
I didn't catch it right away.
Okay. Well, whatever.
She's the unicorn ninja.
Yeah. This was a failure montage.
Yeah.
All these people fell.
And that was the end of the segment. And then we come back from commercial and we get even more montaged people. First of which was Mac Rush, the king of obstacles. But he goes down on the wingnuts here. So
has he ever actually been like good at this?
He did. He completed the qualifying course.
When?
Last year.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
But then he failed the finals course.
Yeah, I just remember him falling and being like, I don't know. What gives this guy the right?
Well, he had like a Burger King crown.
I know. I don't know what gives him the right to call himself the king of obstacles.
You know.
You have to be something.
Yeah. Then we had Todd Bourgeois, the Cajun cowboy who got bucked by something.
The rolling pin.
Got bucked by the rolling pins. They go through these really quickly when it's not like an official
montage.
Then finally, Jessica Clayton, who touched the water after the rolling pin. This is one of those tough outs here. She didn't fall into the water. She just kind of grazed it. But that's enough. You're out.
Sad.
Yes. Next up was Chris Johnson, the 38-year-old, whose brother committed suicide after being unable to adjust to civilian life after serving in the military. This is a very sad package. He works for this organization, Canines for Warriors, that pairs dogs with vets who have PTSD. And so he's doing this for his brother to help raise awareness for this organization and for veterans in general. He does this thing where he does 220 push-ups every day. The challenge is 22, but he does 220 because he said his brother was worth 10 men, 10 people.
He was 10 times the man that he was.
That one.
Yeah, there's a video of me doing this this push-up challenge with my dance team.
Oh my.
On Instagram. Yeah, this was like a big thing where like we would challenge other college athletes, like a bunch of college athletics teams would like challenge other teams.
Did you then dump ice buckets on your head? I wonder if those are the buckets that that Casey's wife fills.
She fills all his ice buckets?
Yeah.
Okay.
For charitable challenges.
No, this is a different thing. This is not for ALS.
Well, yeah, but it's challenge. The same concept.
Yeah, but this is less dumb than that.
Oh! Hot takes here.
Whatever.
Yeah, all right.
I thought it was silly, the ice bucket challenge.
So, he takes on the course. Akbar says, boy, that rolling pin is coming with the heat. When he's on the rolling pin.
Okay.
And then he also says, you gotta use your wings to fly on the wing nut. Yeah.
I guess so.
And then again, he also says, don't let this broken bridge break you.
That's good advice.
I loved these Akbar quotes because he named the obstacle in each one of them. And usually I have to like write down what obstacle he's saying them on. So it was very convenient. Two birds, one stone.
He's helping you out.
Yeah.
Akbar is always just trying to give you the assist.
Yeah. Chris Johnson, he misses a step here on the broken bridge. Tries to save it. Unfortunately, unable to. He goes down.
Yeah, this was by far the most gut-wrenching story of the night.
Yeah. Followed up by Eddie Stewart, the 34-year-old firefighter. They call him Mr. Pectacular. I know this one was Lita's favorite.
Ugh, no thank you. I have no issue with firefighters, but this was so gross.
So first of all, Mr. Pectacular is Jesse Godders from Big Brother 11 and...
10, I thought.
10 and 11, sorry.
Okay.
You can't go copying Jesse from Big Brother's nickname.
Oh, and Matt knows that. Matt Eisman knows that. He's a big Brother fan. Yeah, he stole that.
Well, granted, Matt started watching on season 14, so maybe he didn't see Jesse.
Still started earlier than me, but I still knew that.
This was an interesting package.
Also, like, Akbar calls him the hottest firefighter in Alabama, which, like, I feel bad for Alabama if that's true.
Ooh. Well, he had people messaging him asking, how can I flex my pecs like you?
This was so fake. Everything about this was so...
So he decided to start up a pec flexing boot camp class where he teaches men to flex their pecs.
And, like, if you don't know what we're talking about, like, if for some reason you didn't watch the episode, it's not just flexing. It's, like, making your pecs, like, bounce up and down individually. And it's so vile. And I don't know why anyone wants to do this.
Lita's not kidding. It must have been a joke because, like, they had interviews with, like, the guys who are, like, doing the pec flex class. But they have footage of it. But they're just like regular dudes, like not bodybuilders, who are like, yeah, I want to flex my pecs for my wife. Like,
you have to have pecs first, like step one. And like, oh my God, it was just so strange. And like, if you, I don't want to like not be understanding of what people find attractive in men, because I don't like muscles. This is well documented. But if you are a person who's attracted to men and you find this attractive, please let me know, because I genuinely don't believe that this is something that women or people who are attracted to men enjoy.
Well, that was the thing. They were like, all the women love it. And do women really love it? Is this? And like they cut to women in the crowd, like cheering their heads off. Like, we love pecs. Granted, they could have been cheering for anything and they just kind of got cut in there. Who knows? Maybe when we were in Vegas, they will take a shot of you cheering and they'll say that you were cheering for pecs at some point. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Ugh, I hope not.
But yeah, as somebody that's not attracted to men, I don't understand this. And I thought maybe it's just me. Maybe it's because I'm not attracted to men that I don't find pec flexing attractive. But I'm glad that I'm backed up by Lita here, because I really don't get it.
Yeah, this makes absolutely no sense to me. So you're saying you didn't want to enroll in this boot camp?
Well, obviously, I want to enroll in the boot camp.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just making sure.
Well, I want to impress all the ladies with my pec flexing.
Yeah, well, it was just weird. And like, Akbar is like so taken with him. He's like, oh, this guy looks like he just walked out of a firefighter calendar, like not the one that I have.
Lita went through the calendar that she has on her wall. It's behind her right now, and she could not find him. So
I'm just kidding, my calendar has cats on it.
He trains with Jojo Bynum. Really great tech. He is the best technique on the wingnuts I saw all night. And that includes Drew Dreschel. Granted, Drew Dreschel, I think, was going much faster. He was going for speed.
Yeah, he doesn't need technique.
He doesn't need it. Yeah, he was just like going straight through. But great technique on the wingnuts. He really knew how to get through there. Akbar says, keep your feet hot. Keep your feet hot when he's on the broken bridge.
But he's a firefighter.
Yeah,
he's against everything he believes in.
Keep him hot.
Not on fire.
He had to jump over the last bridge like Superman. Pretty fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Jojo is yelling at him on the Rolling Thunder, like, go, you gotta move. And he does. He makes it through. And Jojo even joins in. He starts flexing his pecs in support.
Yeah. Oh my God. He hits the buzzer and Akbar is so pleased. Yeah. Akbar is just freaking out.
Give me the left, right, double, double.
Yeah. Which that is like his choreography, I guess, when he flexes the right, then the left, then both at the same time twice.
It was like one of those like Bop It things.
Yes.
Where he's like,
I loved that game.
I want a left, right, double, double. And he was like, all right, got to remember left, right, double, double. Got it. Boom.
Yes. Yeah. Twist it, pull it.
Okay. We know you're not sold on the pec flexing in general, but if he did a left, right, double, double, you'd be instantly sold, right?
Is this like a mating ritual? Like, it's, oh, it's just, everything about this felt so, like, this is just really not my style. I don't know. If you're into this again, I'm sorry. Please let me know, because I really want to know what real people find this enjoyable.
All right.
So that I can be convinced. But this just seems like, masculine showing off, and they want to say that it's to impress the ladies, but really it's just to like show off to other guys, you know what I mean?
Yes, the true essence of bodybuilding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he does complete the course here, and next up we have John Luby, the 65-year-old window cleaner. He comes out with a walker, does some dips on it, because he is the, like, really old-looking guy that is really good at the course.
But he's not that old.
But he looks really old.
Yeah, they really fooled me. They were like, oh, he's, like, he's the geriatric ninja, the grandpa ninja, whatever. And, like, hopefully my parents never listen to this, but he's, like, my parents' age. And my parents do not look like that, and they are also not that old.
Well, he says it's amazing that he's alive sometimes because of how he smoked and drank as a youngin. So I imagine that contributes towards the look.
Yeah, well, it makes me nervous because he said he's a recovering hippie, and someday I'm going to be a recovering hippie, and I hope that I don't look like that.
Someday you'll be a recovering hippie that looks like an 85-year-old, 65-year-old.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just be a hippie forever.
He only started training in his 50s, so, like, it's never too late, unless you're in your 60s, yeah. I guess.
I guess so. I don't know. This it bothered me how big a deal they made about how old he was when he's really not that old.
Well, it's still the oldest competitor to have completed an obstacle. And they kept talking about, like, John Luby is going to attempt to break his own record. And I was like, oh, he's going to try to complete more than one obstacle? Like, all right, here we go. And they're like, no. He's 65 now, so he's going to be, again, the oldest person. Like, that does not count.
I know. Well, we've complained about this before, about how John Stewart breaks his own record every year.
Yeah. Akbar also says, I'm pretty sure I got this right. When he's on the floating steps, Akbar says he's got the pediatric ups.
I think he must have meant geriatric.
Right? Because,
like, he might have said pediatric, but that doesn't make any sense.
Right. Because pediatric is like children. It's the complete opposite of what you're going for. Or maybe he was going for, like, he's got the pediatric ups because he's the geriatric ninja.
He has the upper body of a child?
The package of geriatric, but with the ups of pediatric.
But pediatric means children.
Yeah.
Not like young people. It means like actual children.
Yeah. It's children known for their jumping abilities.
I guess so. I really think that Akbar misspoke and just no one caught it.
Well, I caught it.
No, I mean, no one in, like, editing or whatever.
Maybe they did catch it and they were like, this is what makes this show great.
Yeah. Akbar unfiltered.
Yes. He loses all momentum on the rope at the floating steps, but he still does manage to make it through there. Pretty impressive. Then he also makes it through the rolling pins. So he completes two obstacles here. Very impressive for a 65-year-old who looks like an 85-year-old.
This is what Akbar says Luby do.
I've been waiting
to reach, but I laughed out loud.
I've been waiting all episode.
it's so dumb.
Yes. And then he also makes it through. He gets to the wing nut and he makes it through two of the, or at least one of the transitions. He jumps from the side, from the edge of the trampoline. And then when he jumps over to the next wing nut, he grabs on with both hands on one side before putting his other hand over where it's supposed to be, which we didn't really see anybody else do. But it works out for him. He tries the final transition, and unfortunately, even though he manages the same technique, he gets twisted a little too much, falls off. with just like a little bit of a different jump there, I think he could have made it through here. And who knows? I think he can easily make it through Broken Bridge. We could have seen John Luby qualify for City Finals.
Yeah, this is really impressive. After the first obstacle, I was kind of like, ugh, like, why is this guy even here? I'm kind of sick of these gimmicks. But I was like, okay. Yes, he actually came to compete.
And to cap it all off, when he falls in the water, he loses his teeth.
Was this real?
I don't know.
I feel like he just had dentures in his pocket and then just like dropped them to be like a thing. I mean, 65-year-olds do not wear dentures. Come on.
65-year-olds who drank and smoked a lot? Maybe.
I don't know why drinking would make your teeth fall out.
It does lots of things.
I guess. I don't know. This is all a little offensive to my parents.
It's always about you.
This is about my parents.
Next up was Kevin Carbone, the 21-year-old creator of the Wingnuts.
This was so weird. Wait, are we going to skip the package about how the walk-on line is all friends?
Is what?
There's like a walk-on. There's a package about how the walk-on line, they're all friends. And they make a human pyramid and it's like summer camp.
I don't even remember this. I was watching it live. I couldn't have, like, it wasn't like cut out of what I watched. I don't know.
There was a whole little package about like the walk-on line is always great, but this is a really special group and like how they all like hang out and are friends.
Must have blocked it out.
Okay. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kevin Carbone, I was like, this is the guy. He invented the Wingnuts. This is the monster who created this obstacle that's taking down so many people. How can he show his face at this place? They must hate him. Everyone who went down at the Wingnuts must be like, you monster.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that they did not tell people that it was him, considering they didn't even tell him that he won the competition.
Right. This is the most glaring thing here. Not only does he say, yeah, I submitted this obstacle, thought they didn't take it because I heard nothing from them. I then applied for the show. They didn't accept my application. So I waited like 3 weeks in the walk-on line. And then I get up to the course and lo and behold, there's my obstacle. What a coincidence.
But, like, and he's like so nice about it, though. He's like, I got there and my obstacle was there. It was so exciting. And I was like, if I got there, I'd be so mad.
Yeah. How do they think, like, did they, like, I understand, like, maybe they did this because they have, like, shady business practices where they don't want to recognize the fact, like, they don't want to tell these people that they took their obstacle and they also don't want them competing on that course and, like, they have to make them go in the walk-on line. Why advertise it in the package?
This was so weird. And, like, why would they not tell him? And then after that, Matt is like, if you want to enter our obstacle design challenge, go here. It's like, yeah, I'm going to do that and then just never know if my obstacle is picked.
Yeah, if you want your design stolen and have no
completely just taken from you with no recognition, unless you're a 7-year-old boy.
Or unless you wait 3 weeks in the walk-on line that happens to be the one that you have the obstacle that you designed and then compete on it and then complete the course, then you'll get some recognition.
I guess so. This is wild. Everything about this.
They also, and also the package, like they reenacted a scene of him in the shower.
I wasn't complaining.
Getting...
I'm sorry, everyone.
Getting the idea. Cool down, Lita.
I'm sorry. He's so handsome.
And not only like in the shower, but then like outside of the shower, in the towel, writing in a notebook, still dripping wet. Like they really went all out here. Is the first competitor in American Ninja Warrior history to compete on an obstacle that he himself designed. So hopefully he falls on it. Right. That's the hope.
No, I want him to win everything.
Okay. So he does it. He gets all the way to the Wingnuts. He manages to complete it. There we go. Completes his own obstacle.
Mazel.
Yeah. Calls himself the Maker Ninja.
Ooh, that feels wrong. Feels very, it's like calling yourself the God Ninja.
He makes things like obstacles.
I feel like that maybe.
I feel like there's already a builder ninja, and that would also imply that you're like a construction worker.
Blueprint ninja. I don't like maker ninja.
Fine. Jeez. Guess no future for you two.
Well, he already proposed to someone else.
It's true. He makes it all the way through. Akbar saying, Carbone, come on, Carbone, come on.
Which isn't a thing that means anything.
No. But yes, as you mentioned, he gets up the warped wall, proposes to the buzzer before pressing it.
This is adorable. I loved this.
Did you tear up?
A little bit. At least he didn't have an ugly ring.
So much proposing going on. This three proposals here.
In 2 weeks, yeah. That's nice.
All right, so there's Kevin Carbone. We'll be seeing him in the city finals. Next up, we have another montage. First was Emily Durham, the former pro wakeboarder who got wet on the wingnut. Then we had Ryan Stratus, who got montaged here. He's competed on every season of American Ninja Warrior. Very few people can say that. I believe only four total.
Do you know the other ones?
I believe Lauren Ball, Brian Kretsch, and our buddy David Campbell.
Wow, that is good knowledge.
Yeah. You know, to David Campbell, against the will of the American Jewelry producers.
Yeah, David Campbell against all odds.
Yes. Thank God he made it on in a walk-on line, keeping that record. Hard to call him the Godfather Ninja when he loses that. anyway, Ryan Stratus, he's competed on every season, and he's going to the city finals. He makes it through the course. And then Alexio Gomez, first of the Brazzi Bros to compete, and he hits the buzzer. He makes it through.
Okay, I prefer his ballet.
All right. I feel like that was unnecessary, but... Next
what,
up...
sharing my opinion on a podcast about my opinions on this show?
Next up was Tim Miller, the 29-year-old baggage handler. I hate this. He's got shades and a mustache shaved on the back of his head. I hate people that do this. It really just bothers me. I don't know why. I hate when people shave things into their head or their body.
Right after you're like, hey, that mean comment, that wasn't necessary. So anyway, I hate this guy.
I hate the guy. I hate when you shave things into your head.
Is this something that like comes up in your life a lot?
Yes.
Like, where are you seeing people shaving the
lots of
their
sports
head?
People shave sports things into their heads.
But where do you even see sports people in sports things? You don't watch sports.
I used to.
What?
When I was but a wee child. And I always hated it.
Okay, yeah, because people are always shaving things into their heads.
Yeah. He met his girlfriend at a company Christmas party, and she had two kids when he met him. He lived the single life, but he met her, fell in love, was like, you know what? Doesn't matter that you've got kids. I'm gonna join this family. And now he doesn't need the single life because the family life, just fine for him.
I liked this package because it was very short and it didn't need to be any longer. It was like, it was good for what it was. It's not that I didn't like it. I just felt like it's very short and sweet.
Felt a little bit like an advertisement for dating single moms.
Ooh, I'm about that. That's good. That needs more more media attention, that cause.
There you go. He was very close to falling on the rolling pin, but he does manage to fall onto the landing platform. Managed to make it through there. Some rough transitions on the wing nuts. This is not a pretty run, but he gets all the way through to the broken bridge, but not before Akbar says, this guy's got eyes behind his head because he knows where he's going on the wing nut.
Yeah, the expression is eyes in the back of your head, not eyes behind your head. I feel like that would have been better.
You know, I could have written down wrong.
No, because I remember that. And I remember thinking that. But also, like, Matt makes so many, because he's a baggage handler for, like, an airline. Matt makes so many, like, he makes the transition on the wingnut, not late for his flight.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't even mean anything.
I'm still stuck on this, though. Like, what does eyes in the back of your head have anything to do with an obstacle that is next to you?
Yeah, it doesn't.
That makes sense on, like, the ultimate cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Or... any obstacle where you go we're going forwards and backwards. This is like literally the one obstacle where you don't need to see behind you in any capacity.
Yeah, that's not necessary.
But he falls on the broken bridge. They call it a crash landing.
Why is his thing that he was a bow tie?
I have no idea.
Because his whole family is wearing bow ties too.
And he also has a mustache shaved in the back of his head.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I have less questions about that.
Next up, Booty Cawthron, the 48-year-old from Possum Kingdom.
Just glossing over the promo for this racing museum.
I also don't remember that.
You're not going to visit the whatever the heck Daytona car museum thing?
You know what? I think I'll probably pass. I mean, I really want to go, but just like it's time issues. Like I'm busy training for Ninja. Like,
it's probably not as cool as the auto museum in Detroit anyway. Except sure. I'm mad at Detroit because American Ninja Warrior was not on in my area last night because there was a fireworks show. And I'm so mad about it.
Yeah, we also got delayed for like 8 hours in Detroit.
We got delayed for like 2 hours.
It was 3.5.
Okay, fine.
Let me exaggerate to 8 because I had to also spend another like 4 hours there before I went home on the other way back. Booty Cawthron, he's got his booty bandwagon with him. He's like a local celebrity now. He lives in the woods.
Yeah. He's like a folk hero is what they say, which I thought was funny. He's also just like such a strangely proportioned person. He's only 105 pounds.
He looks like a cartoon character.
Yeah, he does. And the fact that he lives in Possum Kingdom.
Yeah, in the woods.
I think he might be a cartoon character.
Exactly. But guess what? Akbar sees him.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's weird that he can even move the Rolling Thunder.
Yeah, he's the first person we've seen to, he locks his elbow around the grip of the Rolling Thunder to rest a bit. It comes pretty close. He goes for an early dismount, but unfortunately not able to make it. But they say he may have gone far enough, fast enough. And guess what? He did.
Yeah, I feel like they would never put that in if it didn't actually happen. Like, let's just give the audience false hope. Did you write down any of these booty things? There were a lot of them.
When there's too many and they're too obvious, I don't write them down.
Well, I have, it's not about the booty, it's how you use it. Good advice, Matt.
Yeah. I use my booty quite effectively.
Too much information. Yeah. No one needed to know that.
I needed to know it. Next up was JJ Woods, the 30-year-old stuntman. This was the kind of package I like to see. It's about his history with American Ninja Warrior. We don't need to learn about his wife. We don't need to learn about his travel. We don't need to learn about his kids, his parents. It's this is what happened in previous seasons. The thing you actually like about watching the show is watching people compete. This guy competed. He failed very early last year. It was very disappointing. He felt very depressed. He decided to switch up his grip at the last second last year. He goes down on the second obstacle, but he says, this year I'm going to hit the buzzer, going to have some redemption. I'm all for it. I love JJ.
Yeah, I do too. And this was like, I felt so bad for him because like, I feel like it's easy to forget that this is such a full-time thing for so many people and that their whole year leads up to this one thing and how much it can really destroy people emotionally to not meet their goals on this.
Yeah, imagine like you're training all year. You're on the poster for this show.
Yeah,
training all year. Here we go, qualifying round. You got to get through 6 obstacles, and then you complete one, and you're out.
Yeah,
and that's it for the entire year. You're not even gonna like necessarily compete in any of the All-Star stuff, in any of the USA versus the World. Like, luckily they've got Team Ninja now. But even then, like you're completely out of the spotlight. Like if you are out that early, then it is now been 2 years since JJ has done anything that is memorable on the show. So that's a lot of time to be out of, especially if you're not like us, like really plugged into this, podcasting about it or listening to podcasts about it. If you're just a casual viewer, you're like, oh, JJ, I completely forgot about him.
Yeah.
If you remember him at all.
Yeah, I would be interested in looking back at who has been on the poster over the years, because it's Jesse Graff now. I wonder if they've always done that, had someone like be the face of it or whatever.
I think they usually have someone.
Yeah, I wonder who it's been over the years. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. So JJ does very well here. He gets, after that second obstacle, he gets some swagger to his step. Akbar calls him. He's like, I see you, swaggy JJ. Let's go.
Yeah, they talk a lot about his swagger.
He had some swagger.
Okay.
So like legitimate, visible swagger. Like he was walking like Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, that show that I've definitely seen.
Yeah, seems right up your alley.
I love motorcycles.
Yeah.
It's true.
Makes it through Rolling Thunder, completes the course. JJ is back.
Yeah, I'm happy for him.
Me too. But we've got a disappointing JJ next. We got a montage. JoJo Bynum.
He got more screen time in the freaking firefighter run.
Yeah. Shockingly sent home by the Wingnuts here. So that's, I mean, right after we see the package about JJ going home early, disappointing, gets redemption. Then we got JoJo going home early. That's the end of his season. There it is.
So, the ability to do the right left double double didn't help him.
Well, maybe he couldn't do the left right double double.
Didn't he do it when during the run?
He flexed his pecs, but I don't know if he did the left right double double.
I feel
like
if
he's that
can,
advanced.
I feel like if you can do one, then you can do the other and both at the same time. Actually, that might not be true. I can only wiggle one of my ears, which is strange. So maybe it's like that.
Kind of afraid that was going somewhere else.
No. Like, most people can wiggle their ears and I can do it, but only one of them. So maybe it's like that with some people's pecs. Maybe they have a lazy pec.
Maybe. Next was Lindsay Eccleston, who makes it to the Rolling Thunder, but goes down, but does qualify. She was she plays second of the women. Then we had Lucas Gomez, according to Lita, better Brazzy bro, yeah, who completes the course even faster than his brother. So I guess on technicalities, he's better, and also by Lita's you know, judgment.
Yeah. He's also the more married one, though.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Next up was Jessie Graff, the 33-year-old stunt woman, fresh off of her stage one completion from American Ninja Warrior 8 and her stage two completion in the USA versus the World special that aired recently. Here we go. I mean, she is the star of the show at this point.
Yes. And she's dressed as Spider-Man, which, is she allowed to just like mix between Marvel and DC like this?
I don't know, but apparently.
This is strange, because she's known for the Wonder Woman thing. I feel like she's done, like, Green Lantern. She's just going back and forth.
Well, don't forget the chicken suit.
Oh, I did forget the chicken suit, because it was on when you were playing poker in Vegas. This is funny. Like, Taryn entered a poker tournament in Vegas, did very well, and there was American Ninja Warrior playing on the screens, like, in the poker room, which, like, we didn't even request, but it was, like, an old season, so we saw, like, Jessie Graff, we saw Noah Kaufman, like, some of these people's, like, first run. I don't know, you probably weren't watching, but I was watching. Was very fun.
Lita was like, why is she wearing a chicken suit?
I didn't even know, because you like pointed out to me. You were like, hey, like, that's Jessie Graff's first run. I was like, that's Jessie Graff? Like, why? Why is she doing this?
Yeah, she just showed up. She was very promising, but then she was out for a year doing stunt and work, or maybe she was injured.
She was injured, yeah.
Yeah. And then she came back with a bang. But unfortunately, that was a big year that she missed. She's been able to get the stardom she deserves.
Is the chicken a Marvel or a DC character?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not good at making up fake comic book things.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Her package, all about how she's been inspiring to little girls all around the world, which, very true. Basically, anyone that I've talked to that likes American Ninja Warrior and who is in contact with little girls in any way. it's like, my daughter wants to be Jessie Graff when she grows up.
Yeah.
Huge inspiration. She got 80 million views for her runs last year on the internets. She's very inspiring. She said people are even, little girls are even sometimes saying, like, why is Wonder Woman dressing up like Jessie Graff?
Yeah. Oh my God, this was so emotional to watch. You know, obviously, like, representation in media is something that's really important to me. And especially, like, I watched this episode right after I was reading about it yesterday. Do you know who John McEnroe is, Taryn?
I do not.
So he is, I'm guessing a lot of our listeners will know this, but he's like a very legendary tennis player. He's now a tennis announcer. And yesterday he made comments saying that Serena Williams, if she played in the men's circuit, she would probably be like the 700th best, which is an absolutely ridiculous thing to say based on literally nothing. For my money, Serena, and I think a lot of people believe that Serena Williams is the best athlete in the world, not just in tennis, not just of the women. And so for him to say that it just reminded me why it matters so much that Jessi Graf is here and she's competing with the men. And even with the new women rule, she qualified in her own right. And like, just the fact that we can look to this sport, which is one of the only, like, you know, really mainstream sports where men and women compete together, and be like, there is literally no debate that she's one of the best athletes, not just one of the best women. And because sports are gender segregated in most scenarios, you can have stupid old white men who don't know anything being like, yeah, this person, I have no basis for this at all, but she's the best woman in the world, but she's probably worse than 700 men. Like, it was just, this is one of the reasons that I love this sport. And so this was really emotional for me to watch and was really important to me.
There you go. Jessi Graf does very well here. As you mentioned, she manages to qualify in the top 30. I believe she was number 25, the first place qualifier for the women. She makes it all the way to the Rolling Thunder, where she gets pretty close to the end, but she unfortunately loses her grip toward the end of it and goes down. So not a, a qualifying course completion from Jessi, but she does manage to, you know, qualify for the city finals. We'll see how she does there. I think Jessie's capable of, you know, matching what Casey did by completing a city finals. It's just a matter of, I just feel like this was just a really tough, tough course. So hopefully we'll see it someday. Anyway, next up, we get another montage. First was Rochambeau. That is, it's like, did I write down a fake name? the IKEA worker who couldn't put it all together goes down at the Wingnuts. Next was Rigel Henry, who is in hair competition with Daniel Gill. Looks like Spicoli.
It's not a fair competition. His hair is not as nearly as nice as Daniel Gill.
I can only restate what has been said by Matt Nachbar. Okay. He does complete the course. And then finally, Travis Rosen, who gets a montage cheer. I'm not super happy about that, especially when he's the fastest finisher of the night up to this point. He's made it to the city finals 7 straight seasons. They say he's the oldest and fastest finisher of the night up to this point. We better be seeing some more of Travis Rosen in the city finals. That's all I'm going to say.
Taryn's going to be clubbing knees, if not.
Then finally, the man himself, the myth, the legend, Drew Dreschel, the 28-year-old ninja gym owner. He's recently opened up a ninja academy.
Yeah, it's only for children, though.
Yeah, I was very disappointed about that.
Because it's not too far from you, either.
I want to be Drew Dreschel's protege.
Yeah, I think it's a little late.
I'll be the fake life ninja.
God. How far is Connecticut from you?
I don't know. I don't have a car, so it might as well be like across the country.
Yeah. All right.
He's building an army of ninjas for the next generation. He doesn't want to just be a gym owner. He wants to be the gym owner, the best athlete and the best gym owner, best ninja, best everything.
I don't know why gym owning has to be a competition.
Everything is a contest.
I guess, but why does he need to compete with like Michelle Warkey and the Wilcheski brothers to have the best gym, and Najee and all the other people that have gyms?
He's just gonna take over everything. He's gonna incorporate all of the gyms. He's gonna run the world.
Okay, that's fine. I trust him as our new leader.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, just like we had an advertisement for dating single moms, I felt like this was like an extended advertisement.
Promotional consideration by Drew Dreschel's Ninja Gym. What was it even called?
I actually don't know.
There you go. It's not a very good commercial.
Poor advertisement. I feel like, you know, maybe this was an advertisement. He deserves it, though.
Oh, sure.
If anyone deserves an advertisement, it's true. Yeah. He speeds through this course like nobody's business. He's into this headphone thing now. He's wearing headphones.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Oh yeah.
Were these ones wireless?
Could not tell if they were wireless. They did have a cord, but I don't know if it was one of those things where like they were wireless but connected to each other and then wireless, you know, or if they were just like wired things. But they went up like into his headband thing. So who knows? This is the most important part. Anyway, like as it speeds through this thing like crazy. He barely even does any like momentum building on the Wingnuts. He just does it. Very, very impressive. Very, very impressive run from Drew here. He finishes in a minute and 10 seconds, by far the fastest time of the night.
37 seconds faster than the next fastest time.
And I believe that was Travis Rosen, who was previously like another 30 seconds or so ahead of the next person. So like really just he makes this look remarkably easy. He says that what made him successful last year was that he just trusted in himself and his instincts and in his confidence. And so he's not going to be unsure of himself and take that extra swing just in case. He's going to think, if I can make this, I'm going to go for it. If I feel like I can make it, I'm going to go for it. And it works out for him here because, man, that was the most impressive run of the season so far.
Yeah, I love that mentality. Just trusting your body.
Yeah, there you go. So that's it. Drew Jeschel caps us off an appropriate final run. Did get the Palm Wonderful run of the night. Mm-hmm. So there it is. It's a good episode. I think having Drew and Jesse, it's always going to make for a good episode. Again, I'm feeling like, I don't know if I just got spoiled by Team Ninja or the USA versus the World Special or what it was, but I'm really feeling a little bit burdened by all these backstories. And also I felt like we got so many failures. I felt like the full runs that we got, we had like three or four completions and the rest were all failures. Like some of them still qualified, but like actual complete course runs, were very few and far apart here.
Also, don't know if you caught this, your boy Brett Sims qualified.
Yes, I did.
Not even in the episode.
No, he was not.
He like had a package last year and like finally, and now he's faded back into obscurity.
It happens. Also, Rico Rivera, the flame breather guy, fire breather.
And Sean Darling Hammond from Team Ninja Warrior.
They're very true. So there it is. That's our episode. Also, the other women that managed to qualify, Emily Durham and Adrienne Alvord, who both went out in the wing nuts. Yes, there were 18 finishers total, which was more than I expected, given the difficulty of this course.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying about like getting kind of bogged down by the stories. I wasn't bothered by it in this episode at all. I felt a lot last week, but I just felt like there were enough differences in like the tones that it was mixed up enough, like it just didn't really bother me this time. But I can definitely see how, like, especially because they're 2-hour episodes.
I get that. Like, I do think the stories were good this episode as opposed to last one episode. They weren't quite as good. But it just felt like, reaching the hour and a half mark, it was like, okay, now we're finally getting to the serious competitors. And I feel like that's too much time. Make it like an hour 15, an hour of like stories, and mix it up a little too. Like, throw in some more of the like serious competitors in the beginning. I know we got a couple of good ones with like Tyler and Kevin, but they were still rookies. So it wasn't like, familiar faces. Maybe there weren't enough familiar faces to go around because it really does feel like, no, there's plenty of familiar faces. You montage so many of them.
Yeah, Travis Rosen was there. You're fine. Or at least show us JoJo Bynum failing if you're going to show us a bunch of people failing.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked the episode. Any episode with Drew Jeschel killing it is going to be great. So, it was a good one.
Yeah, I agree. Kansas City next week.
There it is. Another episode down. We will be talking Team Ninja Warrior very soon. Don't worry. We'll try to get it out this week. Because the finale airs tonight, the day we're recording this, Tuesday. So we'll release an episode where we talk about the remainder of the Team Ninja Warrior episodes. We'll talk about the season as a whole. And, it was a good season. I'm liking Team Ninja Warrior a lot.
Yeah, Team Ninja Warrior is fun because it's only an hour long. So, like, even if you do get a little bored by the repetition, like, then it ends.
Yeah. And we will also be releasing the celebrity special coverage that we did with Rob Sesternino this week. So stay tuned. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes. American Ninja Warrior Rahap Ups. That's R-H-A-P Ups. If you want to make sure you catch all of that. And you can also find us on robhasawebsite.com. You can also subscribe to the catch-all feed, the reality TV wrap-ups feed, where you get lots of other podcasts like Lita's.
So You Think You Can Dance.
There you go.
Was I supposed to interject there? You took a pause.
Yes, that was you know, okay, a cue for you to be like, yeah, this is my podcast.
Yeah, this is my podcast. We're recording it later tonight before So You Think You Dance takes a week off. We're talking about the New York auditions last night. It was a good episode. So that means it'll be a great episode of the podcast.
Yes. Feel free to leave us a review on iTunes. It's very, very much appreciated. You can tweet at us. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. She also has an Instagram.
It's Lita Grammed. And I actually did get Instagram followers after we plugged this last week. So that made me happy. Please follow me on Instagram.
Continue to indulge her shallow nature.
Yeah, that's where I keep all of my most personal secrets. So go follow. No, that's not true. But I do post like dance photos and stuff like that on there. So,
all right. Well, if you are a Big Brother fan, we've got some coverage coming up very soon. Big Brother season is about to start. So that's very exciting. If you're not a Big Brother fan, I'm sorry that I talk about it. I know it looks ridiculous. thank you so much for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. We will see you next time.